Morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra is Lamed Zayin. We are starting today on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amid Beis at the two dots. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. Mamed var mamurim b'stei ilan. Okay, this takes us all the way back to the Mishnah. You go back to the Mishnah on Chaf Ches Amid Aleph, where the parak started. With so far, as much as we are now up to the tenth blot of the third parak of Ches Ches Sabat, and we haven't seen a new Mishnah, and quite frankly, we haven't covered much of the Mishnah itself. The Gemara has spoken extensively about Cheskas Gimel Shanim, about the fact that you acquire land by simply occupying the land. It's not that simple, as we've been discussing now for the last week and a half. But Cheskas Gimel Shanim has been the topic of discussion, and we go back to our Mishnah, and we had a basic machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel. Tanakhama says that you have to be on the land for 3 years, and the Tanakhama could not state any clearer. Miyom liyom, it has to be from date to date. So in other words, it has to be three calendaric years in which you mark it, obviously, from the day you start occupation until 3 years from there on the calendar, and the Tanakhama says it's got to be three complete years. To which Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it does not need to be three complete years. It could be significantly shorter than three complete years. So Rabbi Shmuel says that it's Gimel Chadashim Bereshona Gimel Bachrona Shai Masar BeEmtza. So 3 years where it's only of years one and three, it's only 3 months. And then the middle year is going to be a complete year, which brings us to a total of 18 months. And Rabbi Kiva says it doesn't even have to be that. It's going to be years 1 and 3, 1 month. And then a full middle year, which is a total of 14 months. And then the Mishnah goes on to report in the name of Rabbi Shmuel. I'm Rabbi Shmuel. I'm going back to the Mishnah. I'm reading the Mishnah. I'm Bemedra, I'm on B'stei Lavan. That's only talking about a wheat field of all B'stei Ilan. But if you are in a stay Ilan, so you are in a orchard. So kanasis tvuaso amasa kazesav kanasis kaitzo hare elu gimel shanim. So basically, as long as you have three harvests, the three harvests are going to effectively acquire the land on your behalf through cheskas gimel shanim. Okay. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we now know that basically there are really not just one way that he argues with the Tanakhama, but really two different ways he argues with the Tanakhama. One, in terms of how to count a year. A year is counted not based on the total year, but all you need is the smallest amount of harvest. Well, I say smallest. Rabbi Kiva is even smaller than that, so a smaller harvest. So that years 1 and 3 only have to be 3 months. And then when we're in an orchard, so I don't even need a year. In other words, as long as I have harvest from three different produces, that's also going to be enough in order to create Cheskas Gimel Shanim. Okay. With all that stated, we are now looking at the Gemara and Amar Abaye. So Abaye makes the following observation. Now, generally speaking, this is just a great way to look at machlokas in general when you see machlokas in the Mishnah. Meaning, right, often is the time we see debate in the Gemara. We don't like an expansive view of debate. In fact, generally speaking, when we look at machlokas, we try to minimize it as much as possible. Meaning that the arguments that take place amongst the Tanaim, amongst the Amoraim, are not really these blown out, fundamental, diametrically opposed viewpoints. They are subtle differences between them, which, you know, obviously reflect in differences in terms of halacha, but they're not these wide divides that exist between this Tana and that Tana. And Abaye says basically, look, we don't passen like Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to passen like the Chachamim. But what we're going to be able to do is if we're going to put them side by side, we're going to learn from Rabbi Shmuel. Because although the Tanakhama argues with Rabbi Shmuel, the machlokas that exists between the two of them is not that big a divide as presented. And therefore, we can just put them side by side and we'll learn one from the other. Let's explain.
Did the Rabbanan is saying 365 times 3, or 364 times 3, or is it 3 calendar year?
I assume lunar year, not solar year, but okay, I don't know.
364 times 3.
I'm not sure though. I give you my best guess. Okay, so the So Amar Yishmal Bemed Varmam B'Stei Alavan. Amar Abaye. So let's go now over this point of Abaye. Mid Rabbi Yishmal Nishmal Rabbanan. Look, when you look at Rabbi Yishmal and then you relate it back to the Chachamim, we're going to learn something about the Chachamim. Notably, what? Hayu Shloshem Ilanas Mimata Asar Lebeisa. If let's say you have 30 trees, and of the 30 trees, it's Asar Lebeisa. We already discussed this ratio earlier. Let's say over the ratio again. In 2,500 square amas, if you have 10 trees planted evenly distributed in a 2,500 square amah patch. So that entire field now is going to be shaykh for the trees. Well, we discussed this in terms just a short while back in terms of being able to work the land on the Tosefa Shemitah, right? In other words, that Minat Torah, you have to stop working on Rosh Hashanah. Really Minat Torah, there has to be Tosefas, has to be an addition, which means a full month. And then Midrabanan, it even backs up even further. But if you have saplings, 10 saplings in this square area, so 2,500 square amas, so then you can work this field all the way up to Erev Rosh Hashanah. Okay, that's what we discussed back then. So this ratio of 10 trees per 2,500 square amas is the ratio that we dealt with earlier. And here's the point. Let's say now I have three of these patches of land where the ratio is going to be 10 per 2,500 square amas. So now I have a total of 7,500 square amas, and I have 30 trees interdispersed between these 7,500 square amas. And here comes the point. Achol asar b'shanazu, v'asar b'shanazu, v'asar b'shanazu harizu chazaka. So, let's say every year, I don't consume from all 30 of the trees, but I consume every year from 10 trees. Year one, I consume from one set of 10 trees. Year two, I consume from another set of 10 trees. And year three, I consume from another set of 10 trees. What we're going to say now is as follows. Now, the Chachamim say that it has to be 3 years to the date. And you cannot minimize on that. Fine. But what we're also now going to say is as follows. You don't have to eat every year from every tree. A sample is going to be sufficient in order for you to have a cheskas gemoshanim on the entire land. Why do I know that? Turn the amud. Lamed zayin amud aleph. Lav mi amar Rabbi Shmuel chad pere have chazaka lekulu pere ha'achanami hani have chazaka lahani v'hani have chazaka lahani. Because let's examine Rabbi Shmuel. Now again, we know Rabbi Shmuel argues with the Tanakhama in terms of time, in terms of interval. That we know. But again, as like I said just a moment ago, we're really going to minimize the debate between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What Rabbi Shmuel is also saying is as follows. Remember three harvests? Mm. As long as you have three harvests, so then you're going to make a kinyan chazaka. Presumably, on the entire property. Now, you had in the property, you had grapes, you had olives, and you had figs. So, if you harvest from the grapes, and then you harvest from the olives, and then you harvest from the figs, so then you're going to have a kinyan chazaka on the entire property. Now, obviously, when you're harvesting from the grapes, the olive area has been untouched, and the fig area has been untouched. And when you harvest from the olives, same thing about grapes, same thing about figs. And when you harvest from the figs, same thing about grapes and olives. And yet, as long as you are harvesting whatever is available to harvest at that given time, you're going to make a kinyan chazak on the entire property. Now we're going to just simply take that idea of Rabbi Yishmael and we're going to move it back to the Chachamim. Because again, the Chachamim on this point does not argue. The Chachamim agree. So the only point of contention between them is just simply the interval, the amount of time. Now that means that according to the Chachamim, if I have a plot of land with 30 trees, year 1, 10, year 2, 10, year 3, 10, so that will create a kinyan chazaka on the entire property. Now parenthetically, the Rashman points out on the bottom of the previous amud that it has to be with the ratio of 10 trees per 2,500 square amas. Anything closer than that, it's not considered a field. It's called, the Rashman describes it as a yar. It's called a forest. That's no good. And if it's more expansive an area than that, so then we just simply say that if you harvest the trees, all you're getting is the trees, not the surrounding land. So in other words, the ratio here is very specific of 10 per 2,500 square amas, because then when you're harvesting the tree, you're getting all the land around it. Okay. We turn to the top of Lam Zayin Amud Aleph and Vahani Mili. Three lines down. So good. So now we have said a chiddush over in the Chachamim after having developed that chiddush from Rabbi Shmuel. Vahani Mili Hechad Lo Afiku Aval Afiku Avalo Achal Lo Havya Chazaka. Okay. Now even though we're saying that, you don't need to take from all the trees and a sample is going to be sufficient. That's true, but, says the Gemara. No attribution. No Amara is saying this. So the Gemara is saying that's true. No, this all goes back to Abaye. Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's true, says Abaye, only in a scenario in which the sample from which you take from is the only thing that's producing. But let's say that all 30 trees are producing this year and at the same time, and you only select 10 of the 30. you do not make a kinyan chazak on the other 20. Why not? The Rashbam explains. I'm going to read the Rashbam inside. The kevadol acham in the Rashbam divra maschal aval iafak, four lines down. The kevadol acham kol aperos. Since you need all the fruits, gila al atzmo shasa de'ino shalo. That is demonstrative that the entire field does not belong to you. And you're not going to be making a full chazakah. So the original owner who's looking at you and wondering to himself, well, that's weird. He's not taking from all the trees, even though they're all laden with fruit. Oh, no need for me to protest. And once there's no need for him to protest, so that's not going to be a kinyan chazakah. Okay. The
How would the owner prove it?
I mean, he'd have to bring some sort of testimony that all the trees were giving off fruit. You're right. In other words, if it became a he said versus he said, so then that'd be tricky.
Does he have a chazak on one part that he eats?
I'm not sure. I hear the question. Huh? I hear the question. I'm not sure. Okay, and
3 years you have to eat from all of them then?
Yeah, in other words, right. If all of them were laden fruit, having yield, so then you have to eat from all of them. Correct.
Once in 3 years.
No, yeah.
Meaning, in other words, as long as you harvest from all of them during the 3 years, yeah.
So you could have multiple people then, if you only have to eat a third.
I'll tell you what. At this point in time, let's keep everything simple as it is already complicated enough. I don't want to entertain more variables and more factors. Let's just keep everything with what we have right now. What we have right now is that if you're taking from a sample and that's the only thing that the fields are providing, so then you're going to make a kinyan chazaka on the entire field. If, however, all the trees are giving off fruit and you're only taking from a sample, so then that's not a kinyan chazaka. Now, continuing, one more point over here. And the Gemara says, and also one other provision, and that's the following. And again, I'm just explaining the Gemara like the Rashbam. It has to be that the 10 trees that you're taking from annually has to be dispersed. In other words, they cannot be concentrated to one field. Because, as the Rashbam explains, if let's say the 10 trees that you take from is limited to one particular field, so that's just one field. Meaning, so then you are not going to be able to create a kinyan chazak on everything, as if all you're doing is just simply limiting yourself to one parcel of land, so then all you're doing is really attending to one parcel of land. There's no way that can create a kinyan chazak on everything. The only way it's going to work is that the 10 trees that you are taking from are dispersed amongst the entire field. So in 1 year, you're taking from 10 trees, which are dispersed everywhere. In year two, another 10 trees. In year three, another 10 trees. As long as it is dispersed, so you'll be making a kinyan chazak on everything. Okay. Next. Now the Rashbam says, now the Gemara over here, oddly, is going to make a little bit of a left turn. In that, we have, since the beginning of the Perek, talked about Kinyan Chazaka, but as I mentioned at the beginning of the Perek, and I'll reiterate right now, there are two types of Kinyan Chazaka. There's Kinyan Chazaka in terms of Kinyan, meaning an actual acquisition, as per the Mishnah Kedushin. The Mishnah Kedushin says that I can acquire a property through a Chazaka, through a proprietary act. Classically, the Mishnah Kedushin describes where, if let's say I work the land, I create a perimeter around the land, so that is an act, that's a proprietary act, which actually creates a kinyan. It's the act itself which is going to create a kinyan. Or, what we've been discussing in our parak in Baba Basra for the last 10 days, which is a cheskas raya. I am on the property for 3 years with a taina, without a challenge. Witnesses testify that I've been here for the last 3 years, and therefore what I now have is an establishment. Hey, I've been here this long, no one's contested me, therefore I am the owner. But that is a cheskas raya, not a cheskas kinyan. And we have been discussing for the last week and a half cheskas raya, not cheskas kinyan. The Gemara now, says the Rashbam, is going to be making a little bit of a left turn, where now for the next bit of Gemara we're going to be talking about cheskas kinyan, not cheskas raya. Okay, now parenthetically, this explanation of the Gemara is the Rashbam's, meaning Tosus doesn't like it. Tosus does not feel like the Gemara has just switched topics in the middle of this discussion. But I'm presenting the Gemara this morning like the Rashbam. That's my that's our general mahalach in terms of how to learn. just for the Daf Yomi purposes. So zechzik belan of zechzik bekarka amar zvid. So a person make an acquisition on the trees, and the other one makes an acquisition on land. And again, before I get to the statement of Rav Zvid, the Rashma over here says that basically you have a person who's selling off his property, but he's selling it to two different sellers. To one person he's selling the land, and to the other person he's selling the trees. Now, you and I both know it's kind of hard for the tree to exist without the land. That's just simply how trees operate, and we all understand that. But basically, the point over here, the question on hand is as follows. How much land does the tree owner going to receive? If you take a look at the Rashi, I'm just going to read some of it inside. Excuse me. Two people are buying the property from one seller. Biyachad. V'chol ha-karka ha-yatzarach li-ilanos. Sh'ayunutu'im k'din stay-ilam v'achimituk masugya d'shmaitan. L'echad machar ha-karka. So one person he sold land. V'echad machar ilanos. And the other person he sold trees. V'ichli kol echad b'shalo k'gon d'rafuk b'porta. Now everyone did a proprietary act. One, you know, they hold the property. They did some sort of work with the land. And then he quotes the Mishnah Kedushin, because the Rashbam says that right now we're talking not about Cheskas Raya, we're talking about Cheskas Kinyan. Fine. And we're not talking about Cheskas Gimel Shanim, as will become evident throughout the Sugya. Okay, now, Amar Zvid, back to the Gemara. Zekana Ilan Vizekana Karka. So, in such a scenario, Rav Zvid makes the following declaration. This one buys trees and this one buys property. Now, that doesn't sound like he's saying a lot. The Rashbam says he is saying a lot. Again, I turn back to the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Amar Zvid, Zekana Ilanus, the Perosayim below Karka, Shim Yevshua Ilanus, Lo Yita Achirim Bim Kamam. Meaning, what Rav Zvid is saying is as follows. The one who got the tree, you know what he got? He got the tree, and he only got the tree. And he does not get the land underneath. If and when his tree dies, it withers up and it dies, that's it. He cannot replace it with another tree on that spot. Continues the Rashbam. And now the one who gets the property is going to get the entire property. And even if there are three trees within that property, he's still going to get the entire property. Did not. Now we're going to learn later on in the Masechta. We're going to learn later on that when a person buys three trees, by definition he's getting the properties underneath the three tree area. And later on we'll talk about how much area we're talking about. But in the meantime, however, three trees usually means property comes along with it. That's true. But that's when you have one buyer. We're not talking over here where you have one buyer. You're talking about where two people are buying it. Again, continuing in the Rashbam. Over here, we're talking about two buyers. When you have two buyers, so basically the two buyers are buying now specifically what they are buying. The buyer of the tree is just buying the trees, and that's it, says Rav Zvid, nothing more than that. And the buyer of the land is in fact getting the land, and I'd say nothing more than that, but even the land that's underneath the tree. Ad kan divrei Rav Zvid. Back to the Gemara. Maskel Rapapas, Rapapas says to Rav Zvid, I don't understand. Imkein ein lalabal ilanos bekarka klom. So that means to say that the owner of the trees doesn't have any holding whatsoever in the property. Lema le bala karka la bala ilanos, I don't understand. So why doesn't the bala karka say to the bala ilanos, akur ilancha shkol vizil? Look, your tree's on my property. So why don't you take your tree and, pun intended, and leave? Thank you. So El Amar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says, Zeh kana ilanos v'chatzi karka v'zeh kana chatzi karka. So Rav Papa says no. In this event where you are selling off your property to two buyers, one you're selling tree and the other one you're selling property, so this one gets tree and half the land and this one gets the other half of the land. The Rashbam says, in this first shot, we don't really mean half. Lav dafka, meaning the Rashbam. Divra maskol zeh kana. Ilanos v'chatzi karka. Lav dafka chatzi karka. We don't really mean half. Ella hatzarchli inanas tachtem of anem v'chutz lahem kamala or v'salo. He gets the necessary land underneath the tree in order for him to work the tree. And again, we'll define that later on in the Masechta. Rashbam does entertain the idea that maybe we're also talking about half the land, Inami. The Rashbam continues, Dafka Kamar Chatzikagon, Shekola Karka Tzarech Lilanasim Lom Mimnei Shemachar Karka L'Chavero, meaning we're talking about a scenario where, really, had there not been another buyer, you would have gotten everything. You would have gotten trees and the land. Ve'afilo lohavi ala beis beis lanas dekaim lan ba'mocher sasfina. De'elan karka ha'cha yeshlam dekem de shnei lekuchosein. Ha'eshekonim bi'yachar matzi amale ba'lanas ba'lakarki ki'echal de'lididcha ben yafazav le'didinami. Ve'achim efarsh lekameh. We could make the argument that the Gemara literally means half, because had there not been another buyer, I would have gotten the entire land. But now that there's another buyer, so I'm going to get half and he's going to get half. Okay. Either way, Rav Papa says that fundamentally I disagree with Rav Zvid. When there are two buyers to a property and you are the buyer of the tree, you're getting the tree and the requisite amount of land underneath the tree in order to acquire the tree. Next. Pshita. Machar karka v'shar yilanos lefanav. So yesh lo karka. If let's say you sell land and you leave the trees for yourself, we are now shifting over here to not two buyers but rather one buyer. And you're selling off your land, but you're retaining the trees for yourself. So under these circumstances, it is obvious that when you're retaining the trees for yourself, you're also retaining the land that is requisite, necessary in order to keep the tree in good shape. Ve'afil Rabbi Akiva d'amar. Now, throughout the course of this Masechta, we're going to be seeing a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Generally speaking, what is the mindset of the seller? Is the seller selling generously, or is he selling miserly? Now, I would say, under normal circumstances, it really is subjective. Meaning, there are people with various character traits in terms of whether they're generous or stingy. And it's kind of hard to put this in terms of an objective standard of, generally people sell with an ayin yafeh. Now I know that, what I'm saying sounds reasonable and rational, but at the same time Rabbi Akiva says that we can turn this into a general position. And Rabbi Akiva says that when a seller sells, he sells with generosity, or the Gemara describes as ayin yafeh. Ve'afil Rabbi Akiva d'amar mocher b'ayin yafeh mocher. When a seller sells, he sells b'ayin yafeh. And so that means that if there's any ambiguity in what is included in the sale, so we generally favor the, according to Rabbi Akiva, the buyer, in terms of he got it. That is, for example, and again, we're going to see this later on in the Masechta, where let's say I sell a property, but I retain a pit for myself. Meaning there's a water source as a well. There's a pit in the property, and I say to the seller, I'm selling you everything but the water well. Fine. What we're going to learn later on is that according to Rabbi Akiva, your water well now is in somebody else's property, somebody else you just sold it to. And now you want to get to your water well. How are you going to get there? According to Rabbi Akiva, you're going to have to rent a path to get to your water well. You mean to tell me that when you sold and you left the water well for yourself, you didn't leave for yourself a path to get to the water well? And Rabbi Akiva says that's correct. That's right. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, when a mocher sells, he sells buying yafeh, and he's selling all the property, and we're going to assume, unless it's stipulated in the contract, he didn't even leave a path for himself to get to the water well. So the Gemara says that's true within Shitas Rabbi Akiva. But over here, Avali Lanos, Demechashe, Ba'are, Shiri Sharia. But over here, even Rabbi Akiva would agree. Because let's consider what's going on over here. I'm selling off my land, but I'm retaining the trees. You know, I'd like the property around the trees because they're necessary for the tree. So even Rabbi Akiva will tell you that over here, you are retaining the necessary property in order to upkeep the tree. Because again, going back to an argument we just made a moment ago, if I don't retain the land and all I'm doing is just keeping the trees for myself, can't the owner of the property say, okay, look, thank you so much for the property, I get all the property, and as far as your tree is concerned, do me a favor, can you move your tree somewhere else? Okay, so Machar Ilanos Vishaya Karka Lafanav. Now let's go in the other direction. Let's say you sell your trees, but you're leaving the property for yourself. Plukta de Rabbi Akiva Rabbanan. So this turns into a debate between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. Rabbi Akiva Damar Mocher Ba'in Yafa Mocher Islay. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, who says that generally speaking, when you sell, you're selling with ayin yafa, you're selling with a generous eye. So when you're selling off the trees, are you selling off the property to go with that as well? So Rabbi Kiva would say, yep. And according to the Chachamim, who say that generally, when a mocher sells, it's ayin ra'a, it's not with generosity. So lately, so the buyer does not get the land around the trees. Now, we can, what the Gemara is going to do is basically connect this debate that we're learning right now to the debate that we had earlier this morning. Remember, we had a debate between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa, but the Gemara now is going to separate the two debates. You see, Rav Zvid and Rav Papa were talking about where one person was selling to two buyers. So when one person is selling to two buyers, what Rav Zvid and Rav Papa are arguing out is what each one of them is going to be entitled to. Over here, however, there's only one buyer, and it's just a question of what you're retaining for yourself. So the Gemara now makes the distinction. The afilu l'Rav Zvid amar ein lo. Now Rav Zvid says that a person who gets a tree does not get the land underneath Hanimila Gabish and Lakuchas. That's because there are two buyers. And somebody else actually bought the property. And his purchase of the property comes with an expectation that he's actually getting the property. So you see, over here we can have a very simple, mutually exclusive understanding between the buyer of the property and the buyer of the tree. The buyer of the tree says, look, I didn't buy the property, I just bought the tree. The buyer of the property will say, look, same thing with me. I didn't buy the tree, I just bought the property. So there we can make a very simple separation of you get the trees and I get the property. And the buyer of the tree gets none of the property. Again, according to Rav Zvid. But over here, we're talking about one buyer, one seller. When it's one buyer, one seller, and he's just simply retaining for himself, so there you can make the argument that even when he's selling trees, he's selling the requisite property necessary. And the Rabbanan Leislai. And we're going to do the same thing for the Chachamim, who generally assume that when a person sells, the person sells with ayin ra'a. Now, Rav Papa will tell you that in a case of when you're selling to two different people, so then the one who buys the trees is going to get the necessary property around. Look, because there are two buyers, and each buyer can make the following argument. He sold it to you with generosity, he sold it to me with generosity. But if it's one buyer and one seller, so then the buyer will say to the seller, I'm selling it to you in the most basic form imaginable. Meaning I'm selling you tree, and I'm only selling you the tree, because we didn't stipulate otherwise. And so therefore, even Rav Papa would have conceded over here within the sheet of the Chachamim that it's just the tree and not the property underneath.
I understand one thing. Yeah. The buyer of the tree said to the land, he sold it to his generosity. What did he get? The tree, I understand, he gets the land around it. But what did he do for the buyer of the land? What did he get?
He got not only all the land, but he got all the land, even the land that's surrounding the tree.
Which means
right, and that means then that when the tree withers, so then the owner can't put a replacement tree down on that property. Okay.
I'm sorry, when he says accordingly, no, he's just take the tree. He's being only sarcastic. There's no fact. They didn't move trees in
time. No, no. Later on, if I remember correctly, and that's an if, I think we're going to later discuss how trees move, but in other words, like kind of like a mudslide, like a landslide. And so we are gonna discuss later in the Masechta, you know, like a tree sliding over a position. But no. Take your tree is basically another way of saying, like, you know, I don't want this tree here, we're going to cut it.
So, okay. Rabbi, who owns the roots of the tree?
Right. So the first 16 amas, I mean, I'm just going back to what we learned previously. The first 16 amas of root from the center of the tree are necessary for the tree. And we said earlier that belongs to the owner of the tree. So after the 16 amas, then it's not necessary for the survival of the tree. So that's what we learned earlier. Back in the second parak. Amri Nahardai, we finished today with the following. A statement made by the Yeshiva Nahardai. Achlan Ritzufim Ein Lo Chazaka. If you ate them Ritzufim, so then it does not create a Chazaka. Explanation. Rashbam. Rashbam writes. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, I found it. Achlan Ritzufim, the Rashbam is like right in the middle of the column. Okay, it's the last word on the line is Achlan. Achlan Ritzufin Lahani Shlosha Milanos. Okay, going back now to our 30 trees. Okay, this takes us back to the beginning of this morning. We remember we had a discussion of where I don't eat from all 30 trees annually, but I eat from 10 trees 1 year, 10 trees another year, 10 trees another year. So let's say 15 trees are planted within one 2,500 square amma parcel of land. Now, we already pointed this out earlier this morning, but let's say it again. That's not good. That's not a good ratio. Meaning, in order for the trees to be evenly distributed, you have to have a ratio of 10 trees per 2,500 square amas. Anything closer than that, it's simply too bunched up. The Rashbam earlier this morning described it as a ya'ar. It's a forest. Meaning, it's just not the necessary amount of land per tree. So, ein chazak v'afil achlan kulan koshal shanim. And that means that even if I ate from all those trees over the course of the 3 years, delo achzik demachzi inshi, that's simply abnormal. And as a result of that, you do not create a king in chazakah. Meaning, we know that this is not viable. So many trees packed into such a small area is simply not viable. So when someone comes onto my property and helps himself to the yield in 3 consecutive years, it's just simply, it's too abnormal. That doesn't represent bailus, it doesn't represent ownership, and therefore that doesn't create a kenyan. Now, back to the Gemara, Maskif La Rava, Elamihata, Hai Mishra, Das Pasta, Bemai Kanila. So Rava says, well, what about Aspasta? Aspasta is a row of it's a kind of green. So, and they are packed in. The Rashbam goes on to explain. Hai Mishra, Aruga Das Pasta, Bemai Kanila, Hare Zura Rutsufa. There, these kinds of greens are planted in a very packed form. Now, the Rashbam himself acknowledges at this point in time the Gemara is not asking the strongest of questions. I'm not allowed to talk like this, but the Rashbam is. So he says, well, the Gemara now is not asking really the strongest of questions. Because already you know the answer. Meaning, in the case of trees, it's simply abnormal to have trees packed into such a small area property. 15 trees in one beit sa'a is too much. And it's not viable. Aspasta, if it's planted that way, that's acceptable. Hai machish bar tzvei, v'hai lo machish tzvei. Ela rava hu deleis lehai svara, uvemil sabama hu demukila lenarda. But Rava just simply doesn't subscribe to that svara, and so that's why he's attacking, but the Rashbam admits that this is just simply not the strongest of questions. So, let's go back to the Gemara. So, Amarava, I'm sorry, Maskavla Rava, Alamiata, Hai Mishra Das Pasta, by my Kanila. So, how do you make a kinyan chazaka on this aspasta, which is packed in? El Amarava, Machrin Rutsufim Ein Lo Karka. So, Rava says that when you sell, meaning again, we're going now back, shifting back. And this makes this Gemara a little bit tricky because we are like we're ping-ponging back and forth between Kinyan Chazaka and Cheskas Raya. So let's go back to Kinyan Chazaka. If I make an acquisition on a land where the trees are packed into the land, so then it's not going to be a good acquisition. And therefore he's not going to get the karka. Okay. Now, to which the Gemara says, "I'm Rabbi Zera Ketanai." Rabbi Zera says, and this is where we end today, and that is that this is a machlokas tanaim, meaning when I have too many trees planted in an area. Now, by too many trees again, with the ratio being the correct ratio being 10 trees per Beitza per 25 square amas. And if I have too many trees planted over there, so since those trees are not viable, so Rava says that when you make an acquisition of the tree, you're not going to be getting the land that comes along together with the trees because it's just simply not viable. Now the Gemara is going to point out, we're going to learn a Mishnah together in Kalayim, in the fifth parak of Kalayim, and we're going to see that not everyone subscribes to this viewpoint, notably to Machlokas Tanaim. Kitanai Kerem Shunatua Al Pachos Me Arba Amos. Now, generally speaking, and again, I went through the Mishnah last night. I learned up the Mishnah, but I have no experience, so I'm just telling you what the Mishnah says, and that is that when you plant a vineyard, it is normal to have a 4-amah path around the vineyard. And we've discussed this before in Baba Basra. In other words, 4 amas is avodas akerem, meaning you need the plow and the animals to be able to go around. And so therefore, it is a kerem when you have 4 amas around it. If you do not have 4 amas around it, it's not a kerem, it's not a vineyard, but it's what in halacha, I mean, I know I'm using an English word, but it's a vine, and it's not a vineyard. And the difference between a vineyard and a vine is that when it comes to a vineyard, so you need, in other words, you need more of an area surrounding it as opposed to a vine. So, kerem shunatua pachos me arba amos, Rabbi Shimon Omer eino kerem, v'chachamim omrim hareza kerem. So does it have the status of a kerem if I don't have a 4-amah cushion between this row and the next row? So the Chachamim say, sorry, Rabbi Shimon, let's start with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not a vineyard. Because I didn't leave the requisite area around it, so therefore it does not have the halachic status of a vineyard. Right. And the Chachamim said, Harei zeh kerem. And the Chachamim said, no, it is considered a vineyard. V'roen esayim saim ke'ilu einan. And how does it have the status of a vineyard? Because here's what you're going to do. Let's just imagine that I have rows that are only separated by not 4 amas, but separated by 3 amas. And let's have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, let's try to keep it simple. So let's say I have 5 rows, and the 5 rows are separated by 3 amas each. So what the Chachamim will tell you is that here's what you're going to do. Rows 2 and 4, I'm going to ignore. I did not give myself enough working space around 1, 3, and 5 because I planted rows 2 and 4 too close to 1, 3, and 5. So Rabbi Shimon says it does not have the halachic status of a vineyard. And what the Chachamim will say is, yes, it does. Because what you're able to do halachically is ignore 2 and 4. You know eventually anyway you're going to have to end up cutting it. So even now, Bashir Husham, you can ignore them and basically look at 1, 3, and 5 as your vineyard. Now what the Gemara is doing is basically take that same idea and translate it to our discussion. I've got too many trees in the field. I have more than 10 trees in a ratio of 2,500 square amas. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not viable. Meaning we know that the trees over here are just simply too concentrated where the land cannot provide enough nutrition for all those trees over there. So when I make an acquisition on the trees, I do not get the land. Masha Inkin, according to the Chachamim, that's not true. According to the Chachamim, knowing that I'm going to have to remove some of my trees, it allows me to force me to look at the field right now as a viable field with just the right amount of trees, because with the extra trees, I'm able to ignore. So the Gemara notes that when you're buying trees on a field and it's too many trees, so really, truth be told, is that's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, whether I'm given the opportunity now to ignore all those extra trees. Okay, Adkan. Let's quickly recap what we saw today. The first halacha we discussed today was Shitas Chachamim, where even though clearly they argue with Rabbi Shmuel, but they only argue in interval, but they do not argue in terms of area, meaning you don't have to eat from all the trees on the land in order to acquire the land with Chetzes Gemel Shanim. A sample for each year would be sufficient. Just like Rabbi Shmuel would say that, the Chachamim would agree with that. That was a biased point. And the Gemara made a couple of provisos over there. And then we moved on to a question of kinyan, of acquiring. And when you're selling your land to two different people, segmenting the trees in the field, so when the buyer of the tree gets his tree, does he get the requisite land around it? Machlokas between Rav Zvid and Rav Papa. We have a general machlokas that we're going to be seeing a number of times throughout our Masechta between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Whether when a person sells, he sells Ba'in Yafa or Ba'in Ra. Rabbi Akiva says Ba'in Yafa, the Chachamim say Ba'in Ra. But the Gemara says, but that machlokas doesn't relate over here. Because over here you have two buyers. And when you have two vying buyers of a land, so each one has a legitimate argument against the other. But when you have just one buyer, one seller, that's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And finally, we concluded today with a discussion of if I'm buying a trees on the land where there are too many trees on the land, so do I get to ignore all the extra trees? So the Gemara said you can't ignore it, but the Gemara acknowledges, Rabbi Zera acknowledges that really this is a machlokas tanayim in the Mishnah and Kalayim.